Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer and author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Foreman. Today is Marvelous Monday, November 7th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear, including the ever-so-popular Chicken Whisperer collector cards. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. If you're listening live right now, you're automatically in the chat room. Just scroll down a little bit on your computer screen. You'll see the chat room's automatically opened up. You're in there as a guest, unless you're registered. If you're in there as a guest, we welcome you, but go ahead and take a moment to click on Register Now. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our hobby and passion of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, preparedness, and a whole lot more. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be in our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today, and again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life. If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try ManaPro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try ManaPro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers. You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size, flock, and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, V-E-R-M-X-USA.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Normally at this time, we would welcome our co-host, poultry advocate and author, Compost Queen herself, Pat Foreman. But Pat picked something up at Crossroads. She is feeling under the weather. She's got some laryngitis going on and the snifflies and the sneezlies and just is feeling very under the weather. She's lost her voice. All of our prayers and good vibes and thoughts and energy go out to Pat today. To hope she gets feeling better. Maybe she'll get some, she is in the chat room though. Hallelujah. Hello, Pat. Thanks for joining us in the chat room. Maybe a little bit of colloidal silver might help you get kicking again and, getting back to, normal. And, I don't know if Pat will ever get back to normal, but, get the feeling better. and then she can get on the road. She's got a book tour coming up. I think it starts on Thursday, like a West Coast book tour. So how does that stink that she now has lost her voice and is feeling under the weather? But maybe, just maybe, it came at the right time because she can get over this and then hit the road on Thursday feeling better. She's already got the ickies. She's already got the ickies out of her system, and she can go on her book tour along the West Coast. So we wish her and send her, again, prayers and good vibes and energy and all that good stuff, whatever your beliefs are, to our good friend and co-host Pat Forman, that she gets to feeling better and throws all this stuff. But remember, colloidal silver, Pat, you can't go wrong. In fact, we just bought yesterday. We stopped at Whole Foods on our way back from our little weekend getaway, and Jen got some colloidal silver ointment. Colloidal silver ointment, kind of like a all-natural Neosporin, if you will. And so we got a tube of that. Very interesting. She had it on her list, and so we picked it up. And she says she's taking the colloidal silver and she's gargling with it, which is great. But we bought some colloidal silver ointment for little bug bites, little injuries, little things like that over the weekend. So gotta love it. Gotta love that colloidal silver. So. So we'll miss Pat today. We don't have another co-host, but of course in a little bit, our good friend Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor, will be joining us. He'll be here two days this week. He'll be here joining us today, and then he'll be joining us this coming Wednesday. He will be joining us. So we get a double whammy this week with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. So if you want to, you can go ahead and start calling in now with your question. We'll get you in queue there on the switchboard, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. We know you have questions, so go ahead and call us. Get the right answer the first time from the experts that you trust. Don't rely on just any old forum. Come here and get the right answer the first time from the experts in their field, the experts that you trust. So we hope you'll do that right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I had a good weekend. We remember there was no show on Friday. We were on the road, and boy, were we on the road. We left the homestead about 10 a.m., and we headed north to Helen. Head north, the rush is on. So we went up to Helen, Georgia, actually near Dahlonega, which is actually an old gold rush town. So I can sing that if I want to. we headed up there about 10 a.m., and we stopped through Atlanta. We stopped at the Manipro Mill. And I picked up a good bit of feed for our Stromberg little baby chicks that we've got out there. We've got 100. We'll just call them the Stromberg chicks. That's what we'll call them because they were provided by Strombergs, and they're doing healthy. They're doing great, and we needed some chick starter for them. They are 100% broilers. Yep, all of them are broilers, and these are the chicks and the broilers that we're going to be culling and plucking and scalding and packaging and donating them back to the community here. So we've got 100 of those, but we got to feed them in order for them to get big so we can feed the people who need them most here. And so I got 8 bags. We got 8 50-pound bags of chick starter. And then I got 4 bags of Manna Pro. I already had about 4 bags, but I went ahead and got 4 bags of the calf Manna for the rabbits. So after that, we left there, and we met a good friend and kind of had lunch with him, and then we headed north, and we went up to Helen to visit my father, and that was a good trip. It was a good trip, and actually, it was my late mother's birthday, so we put some flowers on her gravesite. Caleb got to actually do that, which was good, and then... let's see. Dahlonega is a terrific place. Where do your folks stay? Or was it a day trip? We missed you on Fun Friday. Thank you very much, Poet's Wife. My dad actually lives outside of Helen in a little area called Sawtee Nacoochee, which is just outside of Helen, and beautiful, beautiful Sawtee Valley area, the valley, and just right there in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. So a beautiful, beautiful area. So we stayed with him on Friday night and Saturday night. Had a great time. Had some great victuals too. Let me tell you, he really cooks good on the grill. He really does. So I think what we have, let me think here. Friday night, he fixed a wonderful pot roast with potatoes and carrots and onions in the crock pot. We were just talking about crock pot cooking last week on the show on Wednesday with Garden Wise Living. And then he grilled some beautiful burgers for us for lunch on Saturday. And then Saturday night we had ribs, beautiful barbecue ribs. They were delicious. It's kind of like a tradition. I don't do ribs that much here, hardly ever at all. So when we do go visit my dad, that's kind of become a tradition that he'll do ribs on the grill. Jen loves her ribs. So, but we had a great weekend. Sunday, I do not know why I'm yawning like crazy. I got a good night's sleep last night. I have no idea what it is. Maybe it's just somebody in the chat room yawned, and you know how yawns are contagious, so that's probably what it is. So Sunday, we woke up, had a wonderful breakfast. Pop's great at pancakes, so he gave us a pancake and egg breakfast before we left, and with real organic maple syrup. Real organic maple syrup. Not this Aunt Jemima high fructose corn syrup crap. The good stuff. And we hit the road and headed down back towards Atlanta, and we had lunch with Jen's family. And then we went to her previous employer of 7 years, and she loves that school, and she loves the folks there. And we stopped off there. They were celebrating 50 years, that school's 50th anniversary. And there was probably about 300-plus people there. I mean, it was packed. They had some bouncies for the kids. They had a drum line there. Just all kinds of activities. All kinds of activities. And teachers from the past. And so it was really, really cool to walk through the school. They had the school separated in different eras, like the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and then current. And you could meet all the old teachers from the 60s and 70s were there, standing outside their old classrooms. It was really, really neat. So we stopped there, 50th year anniversary of her school, and we got to see so many people. And it's the first time a lot of them had seen little Caleb, so that was always fun as well. Then we stopped by Whole Foods. That's where we bought the colloidal silver ointment and a few other staple goods here for the homestead that we can't really get down here very often. Though Winn-Dixie is starting to carry a lot more organic products here. It's still about a 35-minute drive into Americus, but they're starting to carry a lot more organic products that we use. And so we checked the carbon monoxide detector. That's why I'm yawning. We don't have any heat on right now, so... But that's a good idea. So we got a few things from there, Whole Foods, and then we made the 3-hour trip back home. It's always good to get back home. I hate to leave. I love this place so much, I just hate to go anywhere. I mean, I love seeing family. I love seeing friends. But I love my homestead, and I just, you know you're where you're supposed to be when you hate to leave. No matter what kind of fun trip it's going to be, and what family you're going to see, or friends you're going to see, you just really hate to leave. But then towards the end, you're like, I'm ready to get back. I'm ready to walk through the garden. I'm ready to get some work done. I'm ready to do this to the house, or do this to the homestead, or the yard, or whatever. So it was good to get back. So. We had a really, really good weekend, and I was hoping Pat would be here and say have a good weekend too, but she's a sneezing and a coughing and a whispering because she doesn't have gonna put a heater in the bird room so the bugs can live in there. No, not the chickens either. Talking about heaters in the coops. Gotta love it. What else is going on? I am very thrilled to say, as we try to now me and Jen, you gotta respect Andrew Odom. He comes to us on the third Tuesday of every month talking about living a minimalist lifestyle. I can tell you that Jen and I are not quite at that level, but we're always doing what we can to live a more simple life. And you know, we try to do that. You know, we have no TV. We don't have any video games. Jen has a Wii that she bought that she wanted for her birthday, I guess about 2 years ago, and she's got one game for it, and that's the Wii Fit, I think. And so she likes the Wii Fit. That's the only game we have for it. Now, I think a game came with it, some kind of sports game, tennis and bowling. I think that game came with it, and then I had to get Wii Fit because she really wanted the Wii Fit so she can do some exercises and whatnot. It ain't even hooked up. I don't even know where it's at. hasn't some backed up somewhere. So no TV, no Wii, no none of that kind of stuff. And it's a good thing because we got our hands full with the homestead and doing things that are fun and educational for our family that's not going to brainwash us. But getting rid of our Blackberries. Can you believe it? I made the decision. We're getting rid of our BlackBerry phones. We'll still have cell phones, but we're getting rid of our Blackberries. We have I think we got 5 phones total. So I've got a BlackBerry. Jen has a BlackBerry. And then we provided a BlackBerry for my personal assistant, Christina, Love for Poultry, in the chat room for the last about year and a half. So getting rid of all those, and so the BlackBerries are gone. It's just when we first got them, we thought we didn't want to get them, and then we saw truly how they can be a time savings, especially with my travel schedule, checking emails on the plane or on the road, being able to post things and updates but you know, what is that worth when you come down to it? And then the bill, and then the time, and other things that you know do with it that aren't work related, your Facebook, whatever. So probably in the next, I think on the last day of this month, what is the last day? November the 30th. Yep, November the 30th. Goodbye, BlackBerries. Disconnected. All three of them gone. Thank goodness. It's like this weight lifted off my shoulders. No more BlackBerry phones. Go on, you know, the basics. Now, we still do have cell phone. Jen has a generic cell phone, I'll say. None of the fancy browser and any of that junk on it. Just a plain old simple, just a plain Jane cell phone that is provided by her job with her company. So she's got that. No problem. Okay? So right now she's got the BlackBerry and that. So how crazy is that, carrying around two phones all the time? I've got the BlackBerry, which will soon be vanished and gone forever, thank goodness. And then, but remember I bought that satellite/cell phone? We talked about it on the radio show, and I was doing updates on that and sharing all the knowledge about that and the goodness about that on the radio show. I was being the guinea pig, and that's the one I'm going to use. I really like that phone. Again, it's a old CDMA phone, so I get coverage. None of these other phones get coverage yet, just using the cellular side of it. It's not digital. It's not 3G or 4G or none of that junk. It's just a good old-fashioned CDMA phone, which I got service in more places than any other phone probably on the planet. That's not on the satellite side. That's just on using the Verizon network towers, but the old CDMA. I'll get 5 bars, and even Jen's Verizon phone will have only 1 bar, and it's got the SIM card, and it's 3G, 4G stuff. So, So I've got that phone. I will still be in high tech world, I guess. Plus, we got the satellite phone, so I can have coverage anywhere on the planet. Even if I'm at the North or South Pole, I'll just pop up that satellite phone antenna, and I'll be able to reach out if I need to reach somebody or make a phone call or what have you. So not a big deal. But the BlackBerries are gone, all three of them. Goodbye. End of this month. Good riddance. Getting rid of the BlackBerries. Again, we'll still have the cell phone, satellite cell phone combo, and then her cell phone if we work. But why do I need two cell phones? I hardly ever use the one I got. Why does she need two cell phones? Nope, not happening. Goodbye. Good riddance. Save that money every month and apply it and invest it back into the homestead. So goodbye, BlackBerries. So, yeah, someone was like, oh, no, we're not going to get any more pictures from on the road. If Heather was like, and so you're not going to be updating your Facebook from the road anymore. Or the gun shops with Caleb. Hey, we got a camera. She carries one in her purse. We'll take it, and then we'll put the little card in the laptop when we get back to the hotel on the road, and we'll upload them and then put them on our Facebook page. Not quite as easy to do, or not quite as quick, but, hey, simplification. Not only simplification, but saved a moolah. So no big deal. Yep, voluntary simplicity, as Pat says in the chat room. Voluntary simplicity. That's what we're looking for. Simple. No TV. I don't know what's going on in the world, except, you know, I'll visit CNN or Fox News or the local Atlanta news channel about once a day in the evening, just to make sure there's not, you know, the world's not ending or whatever the case may be. I mean, wouldn't make any difference down here. So just one of those things. If you need some turnips, by the way, come on by. come on by, get you some turnip greens. I'm about to put something on Craigslist after the show. You know those big plastic grocery bags you get when you go to the grocery store? Publix, Kroger, King Super, wherever you're at across the country, Winn-Dixie. You can fill one of those full with turnip greens for $4. Come on out, ideal, and go out in the field, and then just I'll give you my pocket knife, and you can fill that huge bag full of turnip greens, as many as you can stuff in that bag, for $4, or two bags for $7. So come on out. I'm going to be putting it on Craigslist after the show and see if we can't get some people out here to pick their own, harvest their own. Of course, we'll be still harvesting some, taking them downtown and whatnot, but I'm going to put it on Craigslist. No herbicides and no insecticides were used. So come on and get it. I'll be posting that on the local Craigslist a little bit later here. So, alrighty, so that's what's been going on in my world. Man, I'll be glad to get rid of those BlackBerries. I just won't even have to worry about it. I won't have to write that check to T-Mobile every month for those stupid things. So just like I don't have to write a check to the cable company or the satellite company for the brainwashing sheeple television. So gotta love it. We were up at my dad's over the weekend, and of course he has television. And so when we stay in hotels, we'll watch TV. And y'all know my little rant. There's just nothing really good on TV to worth paying for. There's just not. Why would I want to watch 16 and Pregnant? Why would I want to watch that? Why would I want to watch Housewives of Atlanta, Georgia? Why would I want to watch people getting parking tickets for an hour and a half on a Saturday afternoon? It's a Parking Wars. There's a show about people getting parking tickets. There's a show about people losing their cars to the repo man. There's shows about absolutely insane and crazy parents that are spending $50,000 on a 16-year-old's birthday party. No, thank you. I think I'll save my money and invest in a plow or something. Give me a break. So not going to get brainwashed by the television. All righty, we're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to welcome our good friend Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. We're going to be taking your calls as well. Why rely on a forum? Don't rely on a forum. Get the right answers from the people you trust here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer when we bring on the experts in their field. So come on back right after the break. We'll be here. Hope you will be too.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run. But do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
In reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Marvelous Monday. And we're going to go over to the phone lines.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough, Super Chicken. That's enough. Calm down. Get back in your cage. And don't interrupt the show ever again. And now it's time to go to the phone lines. No, that wasn't Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. That was Super Chicken. But now we do have Peter Brown on the line. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Andy. How you doing?
Good. Did you survive Crossroads okay?
Just barely. too many chickens in one place, too many people, too far to drive. But met a lot of good folks that I hadn't met before. Had an opportunity to speak with Pat and have my picture taken with her. And it was a great time, actually. Just long and very tiring.
I bet it was. And then getting back in and unloading the trailer and the van and getting everything back. And then,
yeah,
of course,
it's a lot of stuff. but we didn't do too badly.
Good.
Can't complain. And that'll probably be for me, probably if they have it again, that'll probably be the last one for me because they do it about every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time it rolls around again, it'll put me to the age where I probably won't want to drive 14 hours nonstop like a shitwit, you know.
And yeah, that's crazy. But I bet, like, after you go to a big show like that, that you'll just you make a lot of good contacts. So I'm sure it increases, you know, the Ask the Chicken Doctor program. It increases sales. They saw something maybe you had, and they buy it there. Then they're like, ooh, I got to order more of that. So I'm sure all the way around, it's good. Or maybe when you get back home, they're like, you know what, I think I'll I'm not going to get it today, but I, and then they call you, you know, the week you get back. And so not only now do you have to unpack everything, now you're getting calls from the contacts you made at the event, and they're finally wanting to get the stuff they saw at your
Yeah, it pretty much works that way for the most part. It's an interesting business. You know, like I say, I've been doing it for a long, long time, and you just never know what's going to come up on the radar screen. It's just some of the shows you do, you get a lot of feedback from it. You get you know, an appreciable amount of orders afterward. Others, you don't hear a thing. So it just depends. But we're used to it, and I am cutting my show schedule back. I was scheduled to be in Ohio this year, matter of fact, this week, and I've opted out. And I'm just all of the long distance shows I'm going to cease and desist, except for one up in New England. I enjoy it up there in the snow at that time of the year. It's probably one of the best shows that I've ever done. The amount of the building is so huge and everything else, you can drive the van and the trailer right up to the table, drop the stuff off, and
oh man,
don't even have to take the vehicle back outside, just leave it right there. It can work, you know. Like when I see up there, I'll bring these show cages, which are quite heavy when you've got 15 or 20 of them in a box. And so what I usually do is I put them on the floor of the trailer, and then I take everything else off the top, and then I work them out of the trailer, as a general rule, not always, but so you don't always have to reload that part of it. So from a physical standpoint, you know, it's a lot easier to do it that way. But it's just a great show, great people. I've been doing it for quite some time, and I don't mind the snow. If it gets to be too much, I'll just stay there another day. So no big deal.
Very good. Why don't we'll go ahead and get started. And, of course, we'll always have the phone lines open for folks, 347-637-3237. If you want to call in and ask your question, we'll try to get to you as soon as possible, 347-637-3237. But since we've had so many callers the last couple of shows, and it looks like we're light on callers today, let's go ahead and continue our topic schedule.
Yeah, what I wanted to talk about, start off today with, was to talk about birds that are crop bound or impacted crop or that kind of thing. And the reason I wanted to talk about it is I had several phone calls, several emails over the last several weeks involving this issue, and some folks even taking a bird to a veterinarian who was scared to death to do a crop surgery. And as you all know, when these folks have these problems and they've already got a veterinarian involved, I don't stick my nose in. But I thought it'd be a good time to remind everybody of, you know, what the basics are of what you should do so that you don't get to the crop surgery position, which for me is you know, it's really the last resort. When you get that that far, you're pretty far out there, because it can be cured very easily if, for the most part. I won't say that in every case; just depends on when you catch it. But on the other hand, if you're out there every day with your birds, observing them and handling them like you should be, you will catch these things right in the beginning and be able to generally solve them right off the bat. So the first issue with birds that are crop bound or in this particular type of situation. As soon as you recognize it, the first thing you want to do is snatch that bird or birds up, put them in a pen or an enclosure where they have access to nothing but what you give them. Because the problem with this stuff is if it's not going through now, it's not going to go through later. And the more you feed them, the worse it gets, and then you get into such an impaction in that crop that nothing moves, nothing comes up, nothing goes out. So that's the first thing you want to do. And so you take the bird, you put it in a coop or a pen, all the water that it wants to drink, but no food. And then you take that bird, and the easiest way to do this is to take a syringe with a piece of aquarium air pump tubing, because a lot of people are afraid they're going to aspirate the birds. So the best way to do it is to find your anatomical landmarks in the bird's mouth first, and then put the tube down the bird's throat right into the crop. So if you look at the bird right in his face, you got the beginning of the beak, you've got the tongue, and then directly behind the tongue and the floor of the mouth is the glottis. That's where the bird breathes. A lot of people are afraid to put something down a bird's throat, figuring that they're going to kill the bird. Not so. Certainly, if you get anything at all in the glottis, the chances of death are very high. It's a one-way tube. Everything goes down, nothing comes up. But the big, giant, gaping hole in the back of the mouth, that's the esophagus, and that's where they eat, and that's where they drink, and their water goes, and everything else. So as they are eating, they will close the glottis, and the food and the water goes over top of everything, and it's no big deal. That's why lots of times when a bird is extremely hungry and you see them go after some food, whatever it is, mash or whatever, you'll hear them squeak a little bit every now and then. It's because they're eating so fast, the glottis can't keep up with it. And they get a little tiny bit of dust or feed in the very top part of that trachea. And that's where that squeaking comes from. It can come from other areas, too. They can get it up in the nostrils. But generally, it's there because they're eating so fast and they're not really drinking anything to wash it down like you or I would. We get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in your mouth, and after a bit, you got to take a drink of something to help wash it down. So kind of like the same thing. So once you realize where those anatomical landmarks are, then it's very easy to take a piece of aquarium air pump tubing, and on the outside of the bird, go to the chest where the crop is, right in the middle of the breast, and then go up under the beak, and go out maybe past the beak about 6 inches, cut off the tubing, and at the end of the beak, just take a magic marker and mark it there, pen, whatever you can see. That gives you an idea of how far you are down into the crop. Then take your water, fill your syringe, and you can put a little bit of cooking oil on the tubing to make it slide down, but slide it up over top of the tongue, right into that giant gaping hole in the back of the throat, and get as close to your mark that you made on your tubing, and then start to put some water into the crop. I would probably start out with somewhere around 10, 15 cc's maximum. By all means, if you start to see some water come back up, stop immediately. You've got enough. You don't want to overfill it and aspirate the bird that way, because it can be. As we've talked when we talked about the digestive system, there is absolutely no mechanism to hold anything in the crop, nothing. That's why I'm telling folks this is how you do it. You put some water in there, and then after you're all done and you've got the water in, then you take that crop and you work it as vigorously as you can. Don't be afraid of it. You can't rupture it, basically, and you really can't hurt it. Bird may not like it, but we're not in a like situation here. And you try to mix up whatever is in that crop with that water. Okay? If you want to put a little bit of yogurt in it, if you want to put a little bit of olive oil or something like that to help, but don't overload the crop with the oil because it's not overly helpful. But at the same time, you want to work that crop back and forth and try best you can to mix this up. Now, from this point, you've got a couple of options. You can let the bird sit without feed for 24 hours and see if it passes this mass that's in the crop. And I would come back every 2 or 3 hours and you know, within reason. When you go to bed, you go to bed. But I would work that crop back and forth and try to break up that mass that's in there. Okay? And leave the bird for 24 hours. When you come out in the morning, see where you stand. If the crop is getting hard again, you may want to go back to the water routine again. It's a judgment call. For myself, at that point, if the bird hasn't cleared this mass in 24 hours, I would refill the crop with water, and I would immediately just turn the bird upside down, feet straight up in the air. It's best sometimes if you can have somebody do this with you. But what you want to do is you want to keep the neck straight, mouth open, and then massage that crop like crazy and try to force it back up. Okay? So that's just another method of doing it. And you might have to do that several times. Keep trying to break up the mass that's in the crop and get it to eject itself from the bird's crop, and in many cases, if you can do that, you can cure this thing pretty quick. again, getting on top of it right from the get-go, it's like almost any other disease. The quicker you get a handle on it, the quicker it goes away. One of the other things that you can do when you're in a dire situation like this, and again, you have to use common sense, but I'll give you a little bit of a trade secret here. So everybody listen up and get your pencils out.
Get the pencils out.
You want to go to the drugstore and buy the generic brand of Docusate, that's D-O-C-U-S-A-T-E, sodium, otherwise known as stool softener.
Got it.
Usually, let me see here, I think I've got some hanging around here. Usually about 100 milligrams. And you want to give the bird one of those, like first thing in the morning, and then you want to load the crop up with some water. And the thing here is the bird has to have a lot of water with this. So if the bird isn't drinking, you're going to have to do it for it. And then give it 2 or 3 hours to dissolve, and then come back and really work this crop vigorously. Like we said earlier, just grab it and crush it in your hand and try to break up what's in there. In many cases, this stool softener stuff will work very, very well. And you can try that. I would probably do one in the early morning and maybe one around 1 or 2 o'clock. You don't want to leave this thing in there. You don't want to go out when the birds are going to roost and shove one down its throat and let it sit there. It's not good. It can even be fatal for the bird. But as a general rule, with flooding the crop with water and stuff, it is perfectly fine. It's used all the time. We recommend it here all the time. But it is a little tip that most people don't know about. And it can, and in many cases, will clear that crop because it'll help soften up what's in there and that kind of thing. When you get to the point where you've done this 2, 3, 4 times and you're not getting anywhere and you've turned the bird upside down, then you're nearing the crop surgery routine. And then I would seek out a qualified avian veterinarian or a large animal vet who is willing to do it, because it's really not that big a deal. They don't want to make a giant incision and cut the crop from top to bottom. You want to make the smallest incision possible and then just pop this stuff out. It's kind of like when they do open heart surgery and everything else, they use these clamps to push your chest apart and stuff, same thing. But you want to make sure that you have somebody that is at least competent. Most veterinarians can do it. I was surprised by what I saw the other day when somebody had paid a veterinarian, and he was kind of like, well, I don't know if I want to do that. that kind of blew me away. But anyway, that's what you do for birds that are crop-bound. The other thing is, when you see birds eating things, just because they're eating them doesn't necessarily mean it's good for them. they're kind of like kids, too much candy is no good for anybody, but not for kids either. And I don't know if I said it in one of the shows we did before, but I had somebody that was putting up a fence and had dropped a few staples, and one of the birds ate it. And they just do. Don't ask me why. There's no nutrition in a staple, that's for sure. But they do things. I've seen birds run around with string hanging out of their mouth that they found somewhere, and they decided that it was, for some reason was going to be good, but not really. And so you never know what you're going to find down in there. And I did have the one that, when you see your chicken pick up a pink off the floor, and that's a little baby rodent, mouse, rat, whatever, don't let them eat it. Not a good idea, because the bones are not going to break down. Go back and remember now when we talked about the crop on the bird. No digestion takes place there at all. So if you're waiting for it to break down, you got a long wait.
So the folks out there that are thinking, oh, I've got my bird has a crop problem, I'll just go and give it some grit. That's not the solution.
No, because the grit only works in the gizzard, and the gizzard is a far cry from the crop. So,
yeah,
in actuality, you're helping the impaction situation. Kind of like trying to clean your gutters out, and you got a big wad of clay. Here it's pine chats, and the thing, you try to push them down instead of I throw them in a wheelbarrow and down on the ground into a wheelbarrow. But if you try to push them down the downspout, you'd be taking the downspout off, trying to clear it out. Same same scenario. It's something that you want to, like I say, you want to get on top of it real quick, though. That's the key, especially with birds that are getting crop bound or going crop bound. Now, people will say, you know, well, what makes them go crop bound? A number of things. Too much antibiotic, too much food, mold in the feed. When I say too much food, they start gorging themselves. The coarseness of the food that they're eating. You know, sometimes some things will amaze you. I mean, how many of us over the years, anybody's been rearing poultry for any long period of time, you're seeing a female sit there and pull hackle feathers out of a male, and you know, the dummy male lets her do it, and she sits right there and eats every one of them and seems to digest them fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you know, let them get a little bit of you know, coarse grass or something in there, or shavings and some coarse grass, and you know, it won't pass. It's just amazing, really. But you know, maybe it's nature's design because of the fact that you know, the feathers are high in protein. So you know, just maybe that's the way it's supposed to work. I don't know. But things like copper sulfate generally do not work in a crop bound situation. I highly recommend the docusate sodium stool softener. It's cheap. It's not a lot of money. And in many, many cases over the course of my career, we've been very, very successful with it. But before I'd go to that route, I would certainly try to break up what's in there, get it to move out, and then go ahead and see if the bird's going to digest it. If the bird has a reasonable dropping, then after the fact, after you get the bird cleaned out, let's assume that you've been successful with either method that we've just talked about. You're not going to want to load that bird up with a bunch of feed. It's going to be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing to do is to take a hard-boiled egg and mix some yogurt with it and let the bird consume that. And I would give that as the feed for one day. And as the bird is passing that feed without any problem and the crop is emptying, then the next day I would mix half a hard-boiled egg, some yogurt, and some of the regular feed together. And the third day, let them have the feed all by itself and plenty of water to drink, and I think it'll be just fine. But that's generally the way it works. I wanted to bring it up because there were some issues out there. One I couldn't respond to and wouldn't, because of a veterinarian being involved already, but several others where I had emails and phone calls and so on, and I thought it was worth going back and talking about it, because nothing worse than standing around seeing a bird really with an impacted crop is basically starving to death.
Mm-hmm.
It's not getting any nutrition at all, and
We talked about things, you know, and you can't watch what your chickens eat 24/7. It's just impossible to do. Keeping things outside of the run and pen that they shouldn't have, obviously, is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But and you talked about the mice and the rats and the bones of those things. But talking about things that people may out there in listener land may give their chickens routinely anyway that may not be good. Over the years, I've heard, and again, you hear and you see on forums, good, bad, and ugly, but they'll get, instead of, say, scratch, and even some scratch will have whole kernel corn in it, but a lot of times they'll give them deer corn, just these big pieces of just regular old corn. And
right.
Through the grapevine, it's like, you know, you want to try to give crack corn or a milled corn in your scratch, but not whole, just a big old bucket of whole kernel corn, which may contribute to the impacted crop. Also, I've heard, again, and I'm sure on any odd day thing, anything could possibly make it go impacted, but when you, for example, cut your grass and give them maybe some grass clippings, those long grass clippings, I've heard of a couple of times opening them up and they'd just be these long pieces of grass clippings in the crop.
Yep.
That didn't get digested.
Yeah, let's go back to the corn real quick.
Sure.
One of the things, as a general rule, the bird should be able to handle whole corn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The problem with it is when they gorge themselves on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they sit there and that's all they want to eat is that big piece of yellow corn. Now you're starting to get it into a situation where it's kind of like bricks, you know, one building on another, and all you need is two or three of them to wedge around the piece of intestine that leads from the crop to the proventriculus, and now you're going to have a situation where the stuff isn't going to go anywhere. In actuality, the gizzard can handle the corn very easily once it gets there, but the issue is getting it there. There's a couple of trains of thought. There are those people who believe in giving birds feeds like the whole grain type thing that you would find in a scratch feed, because they feel that a bird is healthier if the gizzard is really working hard and because it's a huge muscle, very powerful. I don't know if I necessarily buy into that 100%. I mean, I'm not a big scratch fan anyway. Very little,
yeah, right.
You know,
right.
Because birds. Here's the thing, which people don't understand. You know, scratch has got wheat in it. Wheat gets harvested all around, and you all have heard me say this many, many times. You know, dead birds don't pay bills. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't get the wheat out of the field, it doesn't pay any bills either. And some wheat gets picked a little bit what they call green, and it gives off a toxin, and it'll shut that digestive system down in a heartbeat. Oats is another thing. Oats are great. Soaked oats are even better, but giving crimped oats and whole oats can stop a bird up. I've been through that many, many times with customers where they've fed whole oats and that kind of thing. So be careful. Things in moderation. It's not that you can't give them these things. You just shouldn't let them gorge themselves on any of it. It's just not a good idea. It leads to problems. And I know there are people out there who say, well, I've been doing it for 50 years and never had a problem. That's fine. You know, I've also told you about, you know, jumping out in front of the bus every day and laughing to get to the other side, you know? And one day when somebody calls out your name and you hesitate that one little step that you needed to get yourself across the road, you become a pavement patch. So it works either way, and it's up to the individual. I would prefer not to have these kinds of problems because they are stressful not only for the people that own the birds, but they're stressful as hell on the bird. No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's where we stand on the crop thing. The scratch grains, wheat, oats. Birds love soaked oats, so you know if you soak the oats in some water and some vitamins and stuff and gave it to them, I know that they suck it up like crazy. So that doesn't seem to be a problem versus giving the dry oats and that kind of thing. Birds really don't need a whole lot of treats. Treats are a thing that is in the mind of the owner. I don't have a problem with it. It's just that if you're going to do it, just do it in moderation. Because generally, if you're feeding a complete feed, and especially if the birds are free ranging all day long, other than good fresh water, they really don't need a heck of a lot. So,
I was called out a former CNN anchor, very popular and quite famous, lives in Atlanta. And she had gotten in touch with me, wanted to do a little story on me on her now new kind of feel-good news blog and whatnot. Anyway, she had chickens, and she wanted me to come out. And the part of the segment she did on me was her chickens weren't laying, and she had this beautiful coop for them and the beautiful lifestyle and all this great stuff in inner-city Atlanta and a beautiful home. And we went out there, and she started filming and taping with her crew and everything. And she's like, I just don't know why they're laying, because every day they come over, I have this beautiful mix that I give them, fresh soybeans, and I give them this fresh oats and oatmeal, and they come over to my door every afternoon at 5 for their special candy and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, I think we may have found part of the problem.
Part of the problem, yeah.
And she says, oh, no, don't tell me I'm spoiling my chickens. I'm loving them too much. Like you love them to death, like you say, Peter. And sure enough, and I'm sure it was just ironic that, you know, I said, no, you got to get them back. You got to get them on a good, well-balanced laying ration. And then I'm not saying don't give treats, but at least for the next, let's try it for 30 days. Just get them on a good layer ration and cut, you know. And sure enough, about 2 weeks later, she's like, I've got eggs. Now, I get it. Part of that, I'm sure, was just luckiness. But she was like, oh, my gosh, I had the chicken wish to come out 2 weeks later. Got eggs. And I'm like, yeah, I did all this great magic stuff, but it was hilarious. I'm sure it was the chicken gods on my side for that made me look good. But yeah, her whole ordeal was that she had all these great treats, and that was taking precedence over the layer that she was very infrequently giving. But and they've been laying good ever since when she limited that candy. Yeah, do you want a Snickers or do you want broccoli for supper? Ooh, I want a Snickers.
Yeah, I hear you. And again, I've dealt with the same thing, you know, many, many times over the years. And as long as I keep doing this, I probably have to keep dealing with it. But just like I say, things in moderation, and, you know, be real observant of your birds. And, I mean, I know a lot of people, they know when a bird hiccups, for crying out loud, and I know other people, they haven't got a clue as to what's going on, and it's all management, and it depends on, you know, how good a manager you are. It's really what it comes down to, and you know, some are better at it than others, some don't have as much time as others. I understand all of that. That's, you know, it's all part of the deal. But as far as being crop-bound is concerned, the quicker you discover it, kind of like bumblefoot, the quicker you discover it, the easier it's going to be to get them over it. The later it's discovered, the tougher it is, and the more stuff that gets stuffed in there. And I mean, I've had people call me and even send me pictures, and the crop looks like a baseball.
Oh, jeez.
You know, and it's you know, others, the crop is starting to get pendulous because it's filling up with feed, and it's coming out from the clavicle now, and it's sticking out of the chest so far. And there are problems with that, too, where you get into a pendulous crop situation, and then it can become lethal because the feed there is not going to pass at all. So you really have to just be observant and catch it as early as you can. There are such things as digestive enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
I carry a bottle here, and in most cases I will end up giving it to people. But it is a digestive enzyme, and in some cases that will work. We've used that as well. It's a dog and cat product, and it's generally only available from veterinarians and that kind of stuff. But I get it here in a pound bottle, and you know, if somebody wants a lot of it, I sell it to them. If they want just enough to get Bert over the hump, we'll try it. I do that a lot with folks, you know, with different things, Nystatin and things of that nature. Some of it I give away, some I don't. Just depends on the mood for the day. But you know, it's just one of those things where you just have to keep on top of it. That's all. And I don't know if anybody's got any questions about that or not. And if not, we can move on to next subject.
Yep, I will check in the chat room to see what's going on over there, and let me check the switchboard as well. If you, we had some callers calling in. I think they may just be calling to listen to the show, but if you do, as a reminder, if you do have a question and want to get on the air, remember to press 1 to speak with the host. They give you the prompt when you first call in. Please press 1 to speak with the host. So if you want to call and ask your questions, we'll be monitoring the switchboard, 347-637-3237. When you call in, press 1. That'll let us know you have a question for Peter, 347-637-3237. And, of course, questions in the chat room are always welcome. Just make sure you post them in all caps. And let us know if you have any questions as we continue. In fact, this is a perfect time. We'll go to commercial break, Peter, and we come back. We'll continue on with the with our next topic.
Okay.
That we will do that. So stay with us, folks. We're talking to Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply, home of the $25 chicken consultation. We'll be back right after this short break.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do. Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Thank you.
designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers. Manipro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Manipro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
Alrighty, thank you very
much. Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
I had a little delay there on one of the buttons that I pushed, so it was Super Chicken. So no problem there. We are now back with, if you're just tuning in, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply. We just finished talking about impacted crop a little bit, and now we are moving on. Doc, welcome back.
Yeah, Andy, the other thing I've been handling a lot of questions about, and I saw this on one of the forums, we basically call it swollen head syndrome. One bird out of the entire group, maybe two at the most, just the side of the head all swollen, eye looks fairly clear, but the head is swollen. It's called swollen head syndrome. It can be caused by a number of different things. It's a bacteria of unknown, unless you were to take it to a veterinarian and they were to a lab and they were to plate it out to find out exactly what it is. But many times it's E. coli, sometimes it's Pseudomonas, sometimes it can be fungal and that type of thing. But the side of the head is swollen, quite large. The bird seems to be healthy in most other respects. Like I said, the particular bacteria that's causing it, for me, most of the time when I'm dealing with these things, I really don't necessarily care. If I knew, it would be better, but most of the time I don't have access to any kind of information like that. So what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
If you have some antibiotics on hand, there's a couple of things that I would suggest that you do. I am a big proponent or fan, if you like, of nasal flushing.
Yep.
And I don't know if anybody's ever, out there has ever done it. If you haven't, it's something you need to learn or at least get the directions for. And if anybody out there would like to have those directions, all they need to do is send me an email at chickendr@firststatevetsupply.com, and I'll be glad to forward it to them without any problem at all. But basically what you're going to do, the first thing I would do, if you've got some eye ointment, I put some eye ointment in the eye. I prefer things other than terramycin, but if that's what you got, that's what you got. Neosporin isn't really as good as terramycin, so if you've got that, that's fine. Something's better than nothing. So some of the things you can do, I would opt for some Oxytet concentrate in the drinking water. I'd put 2 teaspoons of the oxytetracycline in a gallon of water and give that to the bird. If you can isolate the bird, it's better, simply because I don't believe in medicating other birds that don't need it. You can make it up in a smaller batch. If you put about a half a teaspoon to to a quart of water, you would have about the same concentration. The other thing with the nasal flushing, I'll go over it. I'll tell you how to mix it, what to do, that kind of stuff here. But it, like I said, if you really would like to have a written set of the instructions, just email me and we'll get that to you. But you want to take about 12 cc's of sterile water. Whether it's 12 or 15 is irrelevant, but you got to start somewhere. And you want to make sure that once you make the solution that you keep it clean. The sterile water will come from you boiling it on the stove. You can use it warm, just not hot. And to that, you want to add about 2 cc's of Thailand 50 or 1 cc of LA 200. And then you'll need a syringe without a needle on it. And really, it's quite simple. You'll take the solution, mix it up, and pull it up in the syringe and put the needleless point of the syringe right up to the nostril. And be better if you had somebody help you. Somebody hold the bird, you hold the head and the neck, and with the head down, back flush it right through the nostril. That's what it means, nasal flushing. Just force it right through. If it doesn't want to go, keep doing it till it does. And do both sides. Keep the mouth open, head down, let it run out. The bird swallows a little bit, that's fine. Should not be able to aspirate the bird this way. I shouldn't say able. Should not actually aspirate the bird because the head's down. It would be possible to aspirate a bird this way if you're not careful. So you keep the mouth open. I like to put my finger in the corner of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to help keep the mouth open. And back flush that into the nostrils two or three times a day. Do that for 5 to 7 days. A little bit of Vetrex followed up right in the nostril. One drop in each nostril. Put a little bit on one of your fingers and put some in the cleft in the roof of the mouth. The eye ointments can be critical to some of the treatments for this. So if you've got like I said, it doesn't matter what you've got as long as you've got something. If you don't have an eye ointment, you can use the Thailand 50 or the LA 200. The way I would do it is to pull the bottom of the eyelid out and make a little cup and put a drop or two in there and then pull it up over the eye and cover the eyeball and hold it there for 15, 20 seconds. And if you do that every time you nasal flush, you'll see that this will end up going away. Can it be caused by mycoplasma? Yes, it could be. It could be mycoplasma. It could be Pseudomonas. It could be some sort of a fungus, E. coli for sure. How do they get it? Well, your guess is going to be really as good as anybody else's, but by and large, they end up with this by pecking around in places that they probably shouldn't be. You've got them running around out there eating stuff out of the compost pile. Not a good idea. just not a good idea. I see it online all the time. And look, I go back and say, I don't care if you've been doing it for 10 years. I don't care if you've been doing it for 100 years. Sooner or later, these things usually come back to bite you in the butt somewhere along the line. And they can get it pecking the ground. There may be a dropping or a piece of a dropping or something you can't see. Goes back, hits them in the eye with a nicotinating membrane that's supposed to protect them. But, hey, things happen, and it's not always as fast as it's supposed to be. And this is one of the ways that they get these types of things. They can pick it up from feed. They can pick it up from water. Why is it one bird? It's like anything else. That particular bird has been exposed to whatever it is causing the problem while the others haven't. But this is one way of getting it done and not having to bring the bird to the lab and have it euthanized to basically not be able to tell you anything. And I saw that on one of the forums recently. Somebody brought a bird to the lab and they thought it was mycoplasma and ended up not being mycoplasma. So, it was a waste of a bird in my opinion, but I would have done something differently with it. But so this gets this out there. Like I said, anybody wants the written version of this, just email me, and I'd be glad to send it to you. If you don't have anything on hand and you're going to order something, the normal human eye washes usually have boric acid in them. Try to find one in the store that has it. and flush the eye out with that, flush the nostril out with it. If you have Oxine, great product to use. Can't say enough about it. And I know I sound like I'm hawking it for the company. I've got interest in the company. I don't. I just sell the stuff. And I know a good product when I see it. So if you're wanting to flush the nostrils with the Oxine or the eye, take 2 to 3 drops in a quart of warm water and just go at it. Flush the nostrils, flush the eye, until you can get something more powerful. And in some cases, the Oxine will do the trick. You won't need anything else. You know, I'm asked all the time, what should I keep on hand? Well, from my perspective, and it sounds strange from somebody who sells this stuff, I keep very little. If you want to keep a bag of Oxitet concentrate on hand, it's about $9.50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to keep a tube of Terramycin around, you know, its price actually here recently has gone down. It's $14.95. But I would keep a lot else on. And one of the reasons for that is this stuff's all dated. And if you really never have a problem, then, you know, you spend a lot of money. I get people all the time, well, I want a bottle of Baytril. Yeah, what do you want it for? Well, I want to have it on hand. Why? You know, you want to spend $62.95 for a 20-mil bottle or $92.95 for 100 tablets? I mean, it's okay if you want to. I'll sell it to you. But, I mean, I can't see having it unless you've actually got a problem that requires it. So, you know, just a little bit of common sense goes a long way, in my opinion. Like I say, it's real easy to do this. It's not very difficult. People call me all the time with this type of situation. Sometimes the Oxitet in the water will clear it up all on its own. It just depends on what kind of bacteria that you're dealing with. And like I said, we don't always know. So we kind of fly by the seat of our pants a little bit. But to me, doing something is better than nothing, and that's why I recommend either the Oxine or the human eye wash that's boric acid based. Because if you change the pH of the atmosphere of the eye and the nostril, it makes it tough for those bacteria to live there. They just don't like it, and they can't survive. And you can run them off that way. We do a lot with the Oxine with ducks, with sticky eye. Ducks rooting around in the mud and the dirt and gooping the gop all day long. Anybody that has raised any ducks knows that for sure. You can't keep a water bucket clean or a pond. And if you get a duck with it, you pen him up where he can't get in the dirt, and you give him a nice fresh bucket full of water that's got Oxine in it. If you're going to make the Oxine up by the gallon, you're going to want 5 drops to the gallon or 1 teaspoon, 1 teaspoon being equal to about 5 cc's. So the teaspoon would be for 5 gallons, and the 5 drops would be for the gallon. Of course, if you buy Oxine from us, it comes with those directions. You don't have to sit down and figure out when you look at the bottle. You'll have a heart attack because it says parts per billion. And even I had to go to the books for that one. So the Oxine, in many cases, will clear that up as the duck plunges its head into the bucket of Oxine water. The Oxine is flushing the nostrils out, flushing the eye out at the same time, and in 90% of the cases, it'll go away in about 3 days. So that's another tip for somebody that's got some problems with that. But, you know, maybe a bottle of Vetrex, which is not dated and is a very good product. You could use Vicks in an emergency or anytime you wanted to, for that matter. It's just as effective, in my opinion. The difference between that and the Vetrex is the Vetrex is liquid, a little bit easier to handle. It'll go in the nostrils real easy. And that type of thing. And really, the Vetrex, all it's going to do is keep the airways expanded. It is basically an all-natural product for the most part. I don't believe it's truly organic because of the camphorated oil in it. I'm not sure on that one. But it is a good product to have on hand. So those are the things I would do for the swollen head syndrome. Now, if you've got a whole flock of birds like that and it comes up overnight, now we're talking something different. We need to get into some more specifics about what that might be. Something spreading extremely quickly can point more to a viral problem than a bacterial problem, but not always. So it takes a little bit more time and questioning to try to get through something like that. So,
cool. I know you love the... I know you love those flushes and the oxane, and you've sold a lot of people on this radio show, the listeners, on the oxane.
Yep. And, you know, I prefer they buy it from me, but, hey, I don't care where you buy it. As long as you get it, because anybody that knows me knows it's not about the money, it's about the birds. And that's always been my approach to it. And I think I'm on again Wednesday, am I not?
That is true. Also, I read something on, and I may have saved it, I just have to find it. It was in I can't remember where I saw it, where, hang on just a minute, what is it? That spice that you always talk about.
Oh, the turmeric and the curcumin, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Right. I saw an article about that helping, somebody had posted about helping it cure cancer, and I forget what cancer it was there's a whole article about it. I'll see if I can't find it. And
if you research, if you go to the MD Anderson Cancer Research Center, University of Texas, Houston, Texas, and get a hold of Dr. Bharat, B-A-H-R-A-T, I believe it is, but his last name is Agarwal, A-G-A-R-W-A-L. You can communicate with him, and he's written 400 papers in relation to that product taking care of cancer. We know in certain cases it seems to work for birds with Marek's as well.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
This is not BS. Anybody that knows me knows I like to speak from a position of science. This is from, you know, double-blind studies and research, scientific stuff that was done. This is an all-natural product. I've been talking about it for years before it ever became popular amongst a lot of people. But he is an expert, written 400 papers plus on it. It does cause what they call apoptosis, which is cell death and cancer. Fantastic product. Anybody that is suffering from cancer needs to get with it and get on it, irregardless of what anybody else tells you. And I don't care if you go to the best doctors in the world, because the best doctors in the world can't cure a lot of this stuff, but sometimes simple things do work.
Yep. I was talking to a neighbor just last week, and he was telling me about another his minister's son just diagnosed with double lung cancer. Oh. and was going to the doctor, and the doctor, I forget, 6 months ago, a year ago, says, well, it looks like you have something on your lung, but I think it might just be whatever. We'll just watch it. And then, and of course, a little while later, it had broken up, and it was spreading and broken up. Well, it looks like it's that mass is breaking up a little bit, so it might be clearing up. Meanwhile, cancer is spreading throughout his body. And so now he finally was diagnosed with double lung cancer. And you know, if that was my doctor saying, oh, we'll just watch it, and oh, it looks like it's getting better, it's starting to break up now, and it ended up being cancer spreading throughout his body, we would have had a nice come to Jesus talk, I'm telling you right there. And then unfortunately, his son-in-law who passed last year from lung cancer, they diagnosed him off at the beginning with a kidney infection. Oh, it's a kidney infection. Here, take some antibiotic. It ended up being that his lung cancer had spread to the bone, and it's just that's why they call it practicing medicine, folks. Practicing medicine.
My father-in-law here just died in September from a prostate cancer that misdiagnosed for a whole year. Going to a urologist, kept telling him, Jack, don't worry about it. Just take the Flomax. It'll take care of itself. It'll take care of itself.
Amazing. Oh, goodness. Well, we got about 40 seconds left. Doc, thank you so much for joining us today. Always great information out there, and we will see you again this Wednesday. We appreciate you.
Yeah, I'll look for you about the same time.
We'll see you then. Thank you so much. And, folks, thank you for tuning in. On behalf of my co-host, Pat Foreman, may the flock be with you, and we will return tomorrow here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow. Ha 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 ha